Bill 5574, Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Hardly enough time to catch your breath. Senate Bill 5574 is the budget bill for the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission. The commission provides licensing and regulation of teachers, administrators, and other education personnel. This budget is supported by other funds generated from licensing and registration fees. The Subcommittee on Education approved a budget of $3.9 million other funds, a 2.7% increase over the governor's budget, and a 9.7% increase over the 2003-2005 budget legislatively approved budget. The budget includes the continuation of two limited duration positions from this biennium. One is permanent, and the addition of a new limited duration position to handle increasing workload. The budget also provides for replacement of obsolete computers and other information systems equipment. The subcommittee adjusted the governor's budget for the reduction in the attorney general's hourly rate and PERS rate. The subcommittee added $136,000 to expenditure limitation to accommodate the increased Oregon State Police fee for fingerprints, but requested that the Department of Administrative Services to unschedule the amount pending legislative approval of that fee increase. The subcommittee discussed the commission's request for a fee increase in Senate Bill 49, noting that should Senate Bill 49 not pass this session, the agency still would have an adequate ending fund balance at the end of the 2005-2007 biennium. If it simply raises fees up to the current statutory fee caps. However, the agency would need to pursue an increase in the statutory caps next legislative session to sustain this projected budget for 2007-2009. The subcommittee reviewed the agency's performance measures and directed it to report to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee for review and approval of the measures no later than March 1, 2006. The Subcommittee on Education recommends Senate Bill 5574 be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you, Senator Devlin. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, I would just like to thank you. Add one thing, one note on the record. This organization, the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission, in my view, has outstanding leadership in the person of Vicki Chamberlain, who serves executive director of the commission. And the commission is also developing a strong board, and again, it's the quality of leadership that they're bringing forward at a time when we are trying to ensure that every child receives a quality education in our Oregon public schools. The quality of leadership that they're bringing forward is just what Oregon needs. And again, I just want to make that statement for the record.
Thank you. Thank you very much. If there's no further discussion, is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 5575, Psychiatric Security Review Board, Senator Schrader. Senate Bill 5575 is the budget bill for the Psychiatric Security Review Board. The board maintains jurisdiction over persons in Oregon found to be guilty, except for insanity, of a crime. The board's primary purpose is to protect the public through the ongoing review of those placed under its jurisdiction and determination of their appropriate placement. Placement options include commitment to a secure forensic ward at the state hospital, conditional release to a highly structured and supervised program in the community, or discharge from jurisdiction. Agency operations funded almost entirely with general fund. Human Services Subcommittee approved a total budget of $833,421 in five positions, 4.75 FTE. The board's caseload has increased 27% over the last 5 years. The subcommittee approved the establishment of one new position to ensure adequate resources to closely and proactively monitor the growing number of individuals under the board's jurisdiction. The approved budget also includes several technical adjustments and a 3% general fund services supplies reduction. The subcommittee approved three of the agency's four performance measures, added two new customer service measures, and adjusted performance targets to reflect the new position. Human Services Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5575 be amended and reported out to pass as amended. Discussion? Objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 5578, the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries. Senator Nelson, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 5578 is appropriation bill for the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries. The Department is a state primary source of information on geologic minerals and hazards, and with Mount St. Helens, earthquakes, tsunamis, it's a very good thing. The Department is also responsible for administering surface mining regulations, and I know that the good senator from Albany is very appreciative of the things that they do in that industry. The agency is funded by the general fund, other funds for mining permit fees, publication, sales, and contracts, and various federal fund sources. The subcommittee approved a budget of $8.2 billion and 35.2 FTEs, including $2.9 million general fund, $3.2 other funds, and $2.1 million federal funds. The total budget recommended by the subcommittee is $1.2 below the governor's proposed budget. The approved budget assumes increased revenue from restructuring of permit fees for surface mining as a position for earthquake hazard mitigation. Supported by other funds and federal funds, makes reduction to reflect lower PERS and attorney general rates, and reduces general fund services and supplies expenditure by 3%. The subcommittee reviewed the agency's performance measures, deleting five measures and adding three, including the standardized customer service measures. The subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5578 be amended and reported out to pass as amended.
Discussion, Senator Johnson.
I just want to make sure that at this late hour, this late day of the week, that I understood million instead of billion.
Oh, I'm hoping I said million for 2.9 million, 3.2 million, and 2.1 million, and with an M.
I know Madam Director's heart was probably beating fast hearing the word billion.
Further discussion? Seeing none, any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 5579, Housing and Community Services Department, Senator Westland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, seeing as how we learned today on the floor it costs $500 million to run a Senate race, it's an understandable error. Senate Bill 5579 is the budget bill for the Housing and Community Services Development Department. The department assists in financing affordable housing and administers federal and state programs to alleviate homelessness and hunger. The Subcommittee on General Government and Transportation and Economic Development approved a budget of $2.49 billion and 148.0 FTE. The general fund appropriation of $10.87 million restores $1.1 million in funding for the statewide homeless assistance and home ownership assistance program that had been reduced in the governor's budget. The subcommittee approved establishing 14 positions to support HUD contract administrations, two positions for the emergency assistance program, three positions for property management and compliance workload, and three positions for the home program and weatherization grants. However, four positions were eliminated with the transfer of the Housing Opportunities for Persons with AIDS program to the Department of Human Services. The subcommittee also approved two supplemental expenditure limitation increases for the 2003-05 biennium, including $30,000 lottery funds for debt service payments and $6.5 million federal funds to recognize increased allocations from three federal grants. The subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5579 be amended and reported out with a due pass recommendation as amended.
Very good. Appreciate that. Discussion. Senator Wesley.
Just one comment, Mr. Chair. After careful and a high degree of scrutiny with the of the materials provided to us by the LFO staff, I noticed that there is no discussion of IDAs, individual development accounts, and the excellent work they do helping low-income Oregonians create assets. So if at some point in time we could mention that along the way and also require them to report back on how well they are actually doing to the 07-09 session, I think that would be appropriate.
Very good.
That's an excellent idea, Mr. Chairman, because they are doing quite well, and the legislature should know when agencies of that nature are doing good with helping low-income people to stabilize and become more economic enterprise.
Well, let's hope the agency will hear our words and please help us out as we get into the next session and see if we can get that in the narrative. Thank you. Good comment. Other discussion? Objections? Seeing none? So ordered. Senate Bill 5580, Oregon Youth Authority. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 5580, as you've said, is the Oregon Youth Authority. Colleagues, I apologize for the length of this pony, but given the magnitude of the issues presented, I think it's necessary. Senate Bill 5580, again, is the budget bill for the Oregon Youth Authority. OIA protects the public, holds youth offenders accountable, and provides adjudicated youth with opportunities for reform. OIA's budget is primarily general fund. It receives other funds from client resources and county contracts and federal Medicaid funds for some community services. The Subcommittee on Public Safety approved a budget of $207.7 million general fund and $246.2 million total funds. This is $0.7 million total funds below the governor's budget. The budget as approved maintains the existing 850 close custody beds for youth offenders, but does not add capacity to meet the demand for discretionary beds for lower level offenders. The 850 funded beds are on average 287 beds, 25% short of the 2005-2007 biennium demand, as forecast by the Office of Economic Analysis in April 2005. To fully fund the forecast, demand would require an additional $30 million in general funds. Budget reduction over the past several biennium have required the agency to reduce its bed capacity and close youth correctional facilities in Albany and Prineville. The 850 beds are 307 beds short of OIA's highest historical population of 1,157 in August 2000. For the current biennium, OIA has been running about 20 beds above budgeted capacity, requiring them to temporarily reassign staff to handle the extra youth without added funding. The forecast projects more OIA beds will be filled with youth who are committed to the state through adult court for Measure 11 and other serious crimes. As a result, with total bed capacity limited, OIA will need to reduce the number of discretionary beds it makes available to counties. The constrained bed capacity, combined with reductions in juvenile crime prevention grants and OIA community program funding in the past few years, will present a significant challenge to the state and counties to effectively manage youth offenders. Community programs, including county diversion and OIA's juvenile crime prevention grants, are funded in this budget at current levels. The subcommittee added back $563,566 general fund to restore the Multnomah County Gang Program to a total $2.5 million general fund. The subcommittee adjusted the budget for PERS and Attorney General rate reductions for a small change in the federal Medicaid match rate and empty other funds grant limitation. The Subcommittee on Public Safety recommends Senate Bill 5580 be amended and reported out due pass. And, Mr. Chairman, if it's appropriate, I have two other comments that are not in the pony.
Please go ahead.
First comment being one that at least at this point, although that this is a bare-bones budget, we are not cutting OIA any further, to be honest, in a significant fashion, not like we've done in the last two biennials. So at least we've stopped the cutting at a significant level. The other thing is, and some of my colleagues may want to comment on this, the committee has spent a considerable amount of time on a very notable public case, the Boyle case, and how OIA has handled this case. And I think most of us on the committee, probably all of us on the committee, believe that the OIA administration has handled the case in an admirable fashion, in an exemplary fashion, and probably in a way that would be fitting in how we would hope any state agency would handle such a case.
Very good. Further discussion?
Yeah, Senator Mr. Carter? Chairman, I would like to say that I have worked with the OIA leadership on a very glowing issue, and they have been quite responsive and did an excellent job of, you know, organizing the community around some issues that was facing them, and I have nothing but kudos for the leadership of OIA.
Very good.
Mr. Chair, an additional
Senator
note.
Senator Gordley and Senator Winters and Senator Johnson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just an additional note on the Boyle's case referenced by Senator Devlin. The Oregon Youth Authority will be coming forward with an initial report on June 1st, which will provide some preliminary findings and recommendations around that case. And there will be a presentation to the Public Safety Subcommittee, and there is also the possibility of a joint presentation that includes the appropriate House committees and judiciary committees as well. So we are expecting that report. And again, I would just also acknowledge that the agency has responded in a manner that is forthright, and they have consulted with Senator Winters and myself as they have moved forward with the investigation, and I think that's to their credit.
Thank you. Senator Winters.
I just need to add just a little bit more to Senator Gordley. You know, often when we send or we question or we ask for a response to a case or an issue that has hit the press, we don't always get the response back forthrightly in an expedited manner. And I have to commend them as well, because in I communicated to them before I left, and I was very pleased to find that not only did they respond to my communication, but has gone the extra step to make certain that the subcommittee knew along the way all of the incidents, and then to talk about us convening a forum so they can present it to the full body. And I think they're to be commended, because we don't always get that kind of response back from an agency.
Very good. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to offer two background observations first before I make my point. I was not a member of the committee and didn't hear the discussion on the budget, so I'm not as well acquainted with it as I should be to offer a comment. The second thing is I recognize that we're still operating in a very fiscally constrained budget environment. But at my initiation, I had a conversation with the agency about the possibility of a different population mix in some of their facilities. There are youth right now at McLaren living in less than optimal circumstances, and I chatted with the agency about the prospects of perhaps looking at moving those boys to Hillcrest, moving the Hillcrest girls to Oak Crest and combining them, reopening Oak Crest and combining them with a transitional facility operating in Corvallis. The agency said that they would be responsive to my request for some additional information, and they're preparing that information. I just wanted the chair and the rest of the committee to know that I have had some conversations along those lines, solicited input from the agency, and am awaiting the receipt of that information.
Very good.
And the chair is aware of those conversations. The public safety chair is aware of those conversations, and thank you very much for putting that on the record. Thank you.
Senator Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And my question follows along the same line. Was curious as to what the committee's expectation for disposition of those tent facilities at McLaren. We made a tour of those facilities here a while back, and they are approaching the end of their economic life, and I wondered what the plan was from the committee in terms of, can we live another 2 years with them, or is it something that's going to be facing us at least make possibly even in an emergency board situation?
I'll answer that question, if I may. And I think what we'll want to do probably is have the opportunity to get a little information from the agency, and then if it looks like it's certainly what Senator Johnson's referring to is probably more of an interim-type project, so we can make sure that we get it done right. And those members that I think are interested in that, it should be a great opportunity to work collaboratively with the agency. It sure be nice to have some legislators on board if there's something envisioned. And this agency, I think, has a pretty good track record, at least in the past, of thinking things through. I've heard from everyone here today, I think they'll continue to think things through very, very thoughtfully.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to get on the record that, and I concur with your comments, I would believe that they would have to probably retain, talk to the agency, but they will probably have to retain those tent facilities that were intended to be temporary during this biennium. But I do believe they need to make plans in this biennium for what to do with them in the next biennium. And just to put on the record is that the tent facilities are not the only problem at McLaren. There is a huge state investment at McLaren, and there is a real need to address some of the deferred maintenance there. Would note also, though, but in our tours of Hillcrest, that through, I believe, a federal grant, one of the major facilities there is being renovated, not with state dollars. I think the actual appropriation in state dollars for maintenance or for capital is very small. But one of the facilities there is being renovated with, I believe, a federal grant, which should actually be a considerable improvement to Hillcrest.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
Additionally, just to keep our discussion in context, and this is very good that we're putting these concerns on record, we should remember that at the time the Oregon Youth Authority was created, we did not adequately fund the agency. And so, in effect, what we have been living with is the experience of trying to catch up with the vision, catch up with funding, with the vision that created the agency. For example, we know that when you look at the population coming into the Youth Authority, young women continue to be underserved in terms of the mix of services available to them. And I know that that's something that Senator Morse has been looking at, and we've been talking about a way that we might address that issue in a future e-board. But again, the legislature did not adequately fund the Oregon Youth Authority. That is a fact that we need to keep in front of us so that as we are making budget choices in the future, we keep that priority in front of us in terms of where does it fit? Where does it fit in the scheme of things?
Very good.
Mr. Chairman,
further
this is
discussion
my last
except
one.
For Senator Devlin?
This is my last one, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, okay.
Senator I just
Devlin
wanted to get this on the record since I've been doing it with both agencies. As Senator Westland knows, one of the OYA facilities has been transferred over to the state military departments. That facility is not worth to the state military department or the National Guard what our investment is in that facility as an OYA facility. But the National Guard is picking up the debt service on that facility as part of them taking it over. Ultimately, though, there should be some settlement, in my belief, from the federal government from taking over that facility, because that's who pays for National Guard facilities. And when that is done, we may at least free up a few million dollars for capital needs for OYA.
Sounds good. Further discussion? Good discussion, actually. I appreciate everyone's interest in the area. Seeing none, any objection? Seeing none, it's in order. Senate Bill 5582, Employment Department, Senator Westland.
Senate Bill 5582 is a budget bill for the Employment Department. The department administers unemployment insurance, provides employment services, regulates child care, provides workforce and economic research, and conducts administrative hearings for approximately 70 agencies. The Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development approved a budget of $1.69 billion and 1,368.54 full-time equivalent positions. Approximately 80% of the budget is for unemployment insurance benefits. The general fund budget of $3.55 million supports the child care division. The subcommittee approved establishing three limited duration positions to pursue the collection of unemployment insurance overpayments and 25 limited duration positions to provide employment services supported by grants or contracts. The budget was increased by $1.5 million other funds to support implementation of the child care contribution tax credit. The agency was directed to report to the emergency board by September 2006 on the implementation of the program. In cooperation with the Department of Human Services and the Commission on Children and Families, the Employment Department was directed to review Oregon's child care programs and identify potential efficiencies or needed structural changes. The agency shall report to appropriate interim substantive committees and the Joint Legislative Audit Committee. The subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5582 be amended and reported out, do pass as amended.
Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Great job, committee. Appreciate everyone's work and very hard work this week. Good luck next week. We are adjourned.
Have a-